Welcome to Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. I'm your Tuesday host, Scott Burton. Got a nice show for you today. The Great Alaskan Shakeout with Jeremy Zedek and Tom Matisse will be here to talk to us about that. Heather Beattie will be here to talk to us about the PFD, sweepstakes doubling your dividend. Also, Writer's Almanac, the Neighborhood Assist Program, how we can get money for Juno. We'll hear from Reuben Willis and State Farm. And also, we're going to hear from David Means to talk about the Juno School District Budget for fiscal year 2015, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note. I got some good music for you and more here today on a Juno Afternoon. Here is National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Recently, an indigenous man in southern Chile was sentenced to 18 years in prison for his role in the death of an elderly couple. Celestino Cordova and others burned down the couple's house in order to assert the Mapuche people's land claim. The couple died in the fire. As Eilish O'Neill reports, indigenous rights activists are questioning the fairness of the trial.
During the last decade in Chile, the Mapuche people have sometimes resorted to blocking roads and burning down buildings in order to assert their land claims. Mapuche rights activists who clash with police or commit arson have often been tried under Chile's anti-terrorist law.
There's ethnic discrimination, discrimination against an indigenous people for crimes that aren't terrorist crimes. They're crimes associated with social and territorial claims, so they can be investigated and tried under normal laws.
Manuel Andrade is the president of the Commission to Protect the Human Rights of Indigenous Peoples. He says Chile's anti-terrorist law was enacted during the government of the country's former dictator, Augusto Pinochet. Those found guilty of terrorism can face prison sentences three times as long as the standard sentences for their crimes. And all of those tried under the terrorism law lose their right to due process, Andrade says.
The use of secret witnesses under the anti-terrorist law is the most important violation of due process. It's not only that the witness is protected, but also that the defense of the accused doesn't know who's testifying.
So, Cordova did not have a fair trial even though he was not found guilty of terrorism, concludes Andrade. Chile's president, Sebastián Piñera, criticized the verdict, saying that Córdoba is guilty of terrorism. Recognizing Mapuche rights and establishing constructive dialogue between the Mapuche people and the government would help avoid further clashes between activists and landowners, says Andrade. For National Native News, I'm Eilish O'Neill in Santiago de Chile.
An Oklahoma law school establishes a Native American law chair. As KGOU's Kurt Gortney reports, a major gift from the Chickasaw Nation makes the position possible.
The University of Oklahoma College of Law will be the home of the Chickasaw Nation Native American Law Chair, the first endowed chair of its kind in the nation. Chickasaw Nation Governor Bill Anitubby said the tribe is proud to support the school in its commitment to training the next generation of lawyers who understand and care about the legal issues faced by Native Americans. Through the chair, the school hopes to attract and retain national scholars in Native American law. OU Law currently offers three different programs providing specialization in Native American issues: the Juris Doctor Certificate, the Master of Laws, and the new Master of Legal Studies. The OU College of Law says it has maintained the highest average enrollment of Native American students among law schools nationwide over the past 10 years. This year, 11.1% of the incoming first-year class is Native American. This spring, OU Law will host the 22nd annual National Native American Law Student Association Moot Court. That's where students from around the nation will compete. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Norman, Oklahoma.
A state house committee in Alaska is holding a hearing today on a report by the Federal Indian Law and Order Commission. The hearing will examine findings and recommendations in the report. Federal, state, and native leaders are expected to attend. The Fort Sill Apache tribe in Oklahoma is commemorating 100 years of freedom this month. In 1886, Chiricahua and Warm Springs Apache people were removed from the Southwest. They were shipped away as prisoners of war. According to the tribe, they were moved to Florida, Alabama, and then Oklahoma. In March 1914, the last of the imprisoned Chiricahuas were freed. They were forced to leave Fort Sill and received individual land allotments in southwest Oklahoma. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give and select KNBA-FM, Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
All right, welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 11th, 2014, and I've just been joined here in the studio by Mr. Tom Matisse, Juno's Emergency Coordinator. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
And also on the telephone, we have Jeremy Zedek of the Division of Homeland Security. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hi. Glad to be here.
It's nice to have both of you. So the Great Alaskan Shakeout, it's on March 27th. Who wants to tell me about this?
Well, I can tell you a little bit, and I'm sure Jeremy can tell you more. March 27th is the 50th anniversary of the 64 quake at 5:36 p.m. On 1:36 p.m. on March 27th, we're going to have the Great Alaska Shakeout, which will give everybody a chance to practice their preparedness skills with an earthquake drill of drop, cover, and hold. It's just a great chance for Alaskans to remember the 64 event, as well as think about their personal preparedness and know that they have the tools in their tool bag to take care of large-scale events.
All right. And Jeremy, what's your participation in this event?
Well, as the state agency that's responsible for helping communities prepare for disasters, we take a really big role in the shakeout, organizing and bringing it to the state so all of our communities can participate. It is really important that people practice the drop, cover, and hold on. When that earthquake strikes, you know, people aren't really aware of what the shaking of a big earthquake and what that brings. And they're startled and they don't know what to do, and they try to do things like run out of buildings or, you know, get in doorways. And how people are injured here in the United States most often is by things falling on them, light fixtures, ceiling panels, bookshelves falling over, file cabinets, pictures, or they're trying to run out of their home and they're falling down. So if they take a moment on the 27th to just drop, cover, and hold on, when that real earthquake starts, they'll go back to what they've practiced and they'll drop, cover, and hold on.
Absolutely. I was going to say that's a big paradigm shift. I don't know about you guys, but I was taught, you know, go find a doorway, you know, something strong in the structure, run out. But you're saying do not do that. Drop where you are.
Drop where you are. Find something to cover yourself up with. A table is ideal, but if you just have a chair, that will do as well. The reason we don't say doorway anymore is because in most doorways, there's a door. And during that violent shaking of the earthquake, that door can swing back and forth and injure people. There's also only one doorway in most rooms, and if you've got 10 or so people in that room, you're not all going to fit in that doorway, and everybody clamoring to be in there is going to cause problems as well. So if people would like to register for the shakeout, and we would like them to register, they can go to www.shakeout.org/Alaska and register for the event. This is going to do a couple things. One, they're going to get an email reminder on the day of the event. Two, for all of our future shakeout events that we hold, they'll get reminders on those too so they can participate more than once. And three, it helps us track how many people are participating in the exercise. We can gauge our activities and see if we can get more people to participate the next time.
All right. Sounds good there, Tom. Or Jeremy, excuse me. And Tom, I have a question. Another thing I think about when I think about earthquakes and preparedness is my earthquake kit. Is that still something that we talk about and encourage people to put together?
Most definitely. We talk more about just disaster preparedness kits than event-specific kits. It could be your Salmon Creek Dam kit or your Barrons Avenue Avalanche kit.
Sure.
So it's hard to say what you would use it for, but it's good to have that kit. Have a plan, be informed, but have a good go bag that on the way out the door you can grab it and have everything you need to sustain yourself for 7 days.
All right. What are a couple of the highlights of the things that should be in that kit?
Well, water is a big one.
Right.
You know, change of clothes here in Southeast Alaska is always a good one. And then keeping hydrated, keeping good foods in you. You know, some basic heat elements, so sleeping bags, some other stuff like that is good to have. A first aid kit is always a must.
All right. Jeremy, were you going to add to that?
Yeah. You know, in the lower 48, they say that people should have enough supplies to last 72 hours or 3 days. And that's because when they have a disaster, say in Joplin, Missouri, they have resources rushing in from all different directions. There's roads that lead to the town, and people will spontaneously bring supplies. They can just jump in their truck and fill their pickup bed full and drive down there and start helping out. So you have a lot of spontaneous donations like that. And then you have large volunteer organizations, other states that just come to their aid. Here in Alaska, our transportation system changes things. It's much more difficult to provide that aid, even though people want to help. Our supply lines are long, and you're supplied by barges and air down there. If there was something to happen that disrupted that, the goods on your store shelves could be in limited supply. So here in Alaska, we say that you should have 7 or more days of emergency supplies on hand. And it's just what Tom said, water, food, first aid, any other necessary medical supplies you may have for your family. Someone in your family might be a diabetic. That's important stuff to have. You may have pets. We don't want to forget about our furry family members. So really think about what you need and tailor that to your family.
All right. And in the meantime, we can practice, at least for earthquakes anyway, on March 27th by drop, covering, and hold as part of the Great Alaskan Shakeout. What time was that going to take place again?
It's going to take place at 1:36. And really, the Shakeout is a way for every Alaskan to participate in a statewide full-scale exercise that we're going to have called Alaska Shield 2014. We have 13 communities that are going to participate. We're going to have the National Guard, active duty military, many of our non-government organizations like the American Red Cross of Alaska participate in it. We're going to have national groups come up. It's also a capstone exercise, which means that every federal agency will have some type of participation. We're going to see a lot of participation in Washington, D.C. So this is really a exercise that's going to go from a volunteer firefighter in, say, Cordova, Alaska, all the way up to the President of the United States. And the Shakeout is just one way that people can participate. I know that Tom has a lot of activities planned down there in Juneau in conjunction with Alaska Shield.
All right. Well, Jeremy, thank you very much for your time today. And if people want more information, they can go to www.shakeout.org/Alaska. Is that correct?
That's correct. Register for the Shakeout. Mm-hmm. If they would like preparedness information, they can just go to ready.alaska.gov.
All right. Jeremy, anything else you'd like to add?
We also have a 50th anniversary of the Great Alaska Quake page set up on our ready.alaska.gov site. People would like to go and look at photos or share their 1964 stories, they can do that on that site.
All right, Jeremy, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Anything that you'd like to add today?
Just everybody needs to do their part. It really helps support the community. So get a kit, have a plan, and be informed.
All right, Tom Matisse, thank you for your time. Here's a little Elvis with I'm All Shook Up.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? Preaching like a man on a bug tree. Friends say I'm happy, and the water's a bug, I'm in love. I'm all shook up, yeah. Oh, well, my hands are shaky, and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand up, my heart's too weak. Who do you think I'm when your house like a luck, I'm in love? I'm all shook up, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. But I feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. You know my heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. I want a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano and it's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup, I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down at the end of Lonely Street, our baby. So lonely, baby. I'll be lonely. I'll be so lonely. Well, although it's always crowded, you still can find some room.
Right there with Heartbreak Hotel. Right before that, I'm all shook up. And right now on the phone with me is Heather Beattie, part of the Pick, Click, Give, the program manager. Welcome, Heather. Are you there? Oops, looks like she's not there. Let me bring back Elvis for a second and get her back on the line.
Thank you. Baby, let me be your loving teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck, lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be your teddy bear. Oh, I don't want to be a tiger. Tiger played too rough. I don't want to be a lion. The lions ain't the kind you love enough. If I made you mad, there's something that I might have said. Please just forget the past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Oh, I don't want no other love. Baby, it's just you I'm made of. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Yeah.
My first movie, ladies and gentlemen. Love me tender, love me tender. Never let me go. You have made my dreams come true, and I love you so. Love me tender.
All right. Please excuse me for those technical difficulties. Now on the phone with me should be Heather Beattie.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Welcome. Sorry about that.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on the air this afternoon.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. So you're the program manager for Pick, Click, Give, is that correct?
That's right. I work out of the Alaska Community Foundation based in Anchorage.
All right. So from what I understand, we have until the end of this month to apply for our PFDs, is that correct?
That's right. The deadline for filing is March 31st.
All right. So that's number one priority, right? Apply for your PFD.
Absolutely. You don't want to be one of those unfortunate Alaskans who forgets to apply by the deadline.
Ouch. That would be rough. Okay. And then the next move as you're applying is to choose whether you want to be a participant in Pick, Click, Give. If there's somebody that doesn't know about that, can you tell them what that's all about?
Sure thing. Pick, Click, Give is in its sixth year. It's a program where Alaskans can make charitable donations directly from their permanent fund dividends to any of the qualified nonprofits on the list. This year, there are more than 500 organizations from 50 communities around the state, and there's more than 50 of them operating in Juneau that are on the list. So you have a lot of different choices of where you might like your donation to go. You can donate as little as $25 or all the way up to the full amount of your dividend. It's up to each Alaskan how many donations they'd like to make and how much they'd like to direct to each organization.
All right. And this year, there is a very special incentive to become part of this program. Can you tell us about it?
Absolutely. One of the exciting things that's different this year is we're offering a sweepstakes. So 10 lucky Alaskans who pick, click, give by March 31st will be entered into a sweepstakes and can win a cash prize equal to the amount of the 2014 dividend. So everyone who pick, click, gives before the end of this month can be entered into the sweepstakes, and 10 of you will win an extra PFD.
Holy moly. That sounds pretty exciting.
It is exciting. It's a nice way to acknowledge all of the Alaskans who are willing to make a donation from their PFD, and for a few lucky winners, they'll get an extra PFD that they can do whatever they like with.
Right. I'm trying to think of the odds. Let's see. We have, is it 700,000 people in the state, give or take? I don't know. I have to check on that.
But that sounds about right.
And about 10 of those will be getting double their PFD.
Well, and the odds are even better because only about 4% of the people who file online for their permanent fund dividends make a pick, click, give donation. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the actual odds will end up being. It all depends on how many people pick, click, give. But if you're thinking about doing it for the first time this year and you need a little extra incentive, perhaps winning an extra PFD might do the trick.
And do your odds increase for every organization you give to?
No, we wanted to make sure that even those who only want to make a small donation to one organization have the same chances of winning as anyone else. So it's one entry per person, and you'll be automatically entered. You can find out more about the sweepstakes on our website. It's pickclickgive.org.
All right, pickclickgive.org. And another thing that's interesting about this is even if you've already applied for your PFD, you can go back and pickclickgive like right now, right?
Absolutely. We've been hearing from some people who are worried because they just found out about the sweepstakes, but they filed back in January. The good news is you can go back to the PFD homepage. There's a green button on the right-hand side that says add a donation, and you can go back into your application and make a pick, click, give contribution, and you'll be entered into the sweepstakes.
This is the first year, is that right?
For the sweepstakes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, wow. It'll be interesting to talk to you next year at this time and see how numbers go up. Get the analytics from this.
Yeah, we've really been looking for ways because we know that there are a lot of Alaskans out there who are interested in making a donation, but for whatever reason, they don't take that extra step when they file for their PFD. So right. We're always trying to think of new ways to encourage people because I think once you do it the first time and you get that good feeling from sharing a little bit of your PFD, many people become, you know, lifetime donors through this program.
Right, right. Speaking of a good feeling and giving, what are a couple of the most popular organizations, say, here in Juneau or Alaska?
Sure. Well, statewide, we really see people gravitating towards causes that serve people when they're in an emergency situation. So you'll see food banks up at the top of the list, homeless shelters, organizations that provide services to victims of domestic violence, organizations like the Red Cross that provide services to people who find themselves in an emergency. Those are very popular. Alaskans love animals, and so a lot of animal rescue organizations connect with donors through Picklick Give. And then people are always excited to give to causes that benefit the youth in our community. So you'll see a lot of organizations at the top of the list that provide after-school activities or summer camps, things like that. Specifically in Juneau, the top earning organizations have been in the past the Aware Shelter, which does really good work in the community, United Way of Southeast, which helps many organizations throughout Southeast meet their missions. Southeast Alaska Independent Living is a very popular organization. I think they're better known as SAIL. Really, with more than 50 organizations just in Juneau to choose from, no matter what kind of a cause you're passionate about, you're likely to find an organization to support with a donation through Picklick Give.
All right. Sounds like a win-win situation to me.
It's pretty exciting. You can always visit picklickgive.org if you'd like to learn a little bit more about the organizations you can choose from. We've set up our website to make it easy for people to search based on whatever cause they're interested in, or perhaps just narrow the list down to those in your community if you want to keep your giving local.
All right, so more information at picklickgive.org. If you've already applied for your PFD, you can go back to the PFD homepage and click the green button on the right, and you can still pick Click Give. And by doing so, you enter yourself into a sweepstakes. One of 10 Alaskans will double their dividend, double down.
That's right. It's pretty exciting to think about what one might do with a whole extra PFD.
Right. Oh, for fun. Okay. Well, Heather, thank you for bringing us this great news, and thanks for being part of the Pick, Click, Give program. Such a fine idea and organization. And thanks for being on the air today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm just so grateful to get to talk to some folks in Juneau. I hope you all have a great afternoon.
You too, Heather. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. We are going now to listen to Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 13th of March, 2014. It's the birthday of the astronomer Percival Lowell, born in Boston, 1855, who in the 1890s became fascinated with the planet Mars. The astronomer Schiaparelli had discovered what appeared to be canals on the planet, and Percival Lowell believed that those canals offered proof of intelligent life on Mars. So he built himself an observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, and looked at Mars. And even though scientists remained skeptical about that, Lowell's vision of intelligent life on Mars did lead to a great deal of science fiction on that very subject. It's the birthday of the poet George Seferis, born in Smyrna, Asia Minor, in 1900, wrote in Greek lyrical poems that encompassed the great history of Greece and its mythical legacy. It was on this day, 1891, Henrik Ibsen's play Ghosts opened in London, a play that included mention of incest and sexually transmitted diseases. Ibsen wrote in Act Two of the play, "I almost think we're all of us ghosts. It's not only what we have invited from our father and mother that walks in us. It's all sorts of dead ideas and lifeless old beliefs which have no vitality, but they cling to us all the same, and we can't get rid of them. We are one and all so pitifully afraid of the light." And it's the birthday of Janet Flanner, the journalist born in Indianapolis, 1892, whose letter from Paris appeared in the New Yorker magazine for 50 years, every 2 weeks, over the pen name Genet. She also wrote many profiles of Hitler, Queen Mary, Isadora Duncan, Matisse, Picasso, Edith Wharton, and Thomas Mann. Janet Flanner, who said, "I act as a sponge, I soak it up and squeeze it out in ink every 2 weeks." Here's a poem for today by Wendell Berry, one in a series of poems entitled Sabbaths. "I know I am getting old, and I say so, but I don't think of myself as an old man. I think of myself as a young man with unforeseen debilities. Time is neither young nor old, but simply new, always counting, the only apocalypse. And the clouds, no mere measure or geometry, no cubism can account for clouds or satisfactorily for bodies. There is no science for this, or art either. Even the old body is new. Who has known it before? And no sooner new than gone, to be replaced by a body yet older and again new. The clouds are rarely absent from our sky over this humid valley, and there is a sycamore that I watch as growing on the riverbank. It forecloses the horizon like the years of an old man. And you, who are as old almost as I am, I love as I loved you young, except that old I am astonished at such a possibility and am duly grateful." A poem by Wendell Berry from his collection Leaving, published by Counterpoint and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry App. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Garrison Keillor, there for Writer's Almanac. Now in the studio with me on Juno Afternoon is Mr. Reuben Willis from State Farm Insurance. Welcome to the studio, Reuben.
Well, thank you for having me up here. This will be fun to talk about today.
Yeah, this is a fun day. You're here to talk about the neighborhood assist. I don't know if you heard the person that I was talking to before, Heather Beattie. She was talking about the Pick, Click, Give sweepstakes, how you can double your PFD. You are talking about another situation where people can make money, you know, through a grant and everything. But it's a great day on a Juno afternoon.
Yeah, not individuals, but certainly worthy organizations who desire to either educate in the community, build the community, or do some form of safety. It's a great way that we give back. We use the State Farm like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. Well, we are people who live and work in this community, employ people in this community. We give back to this community.
All right.
And have done so in multiple other things in the past that many people aren't aware of. The 911 simulator that the schools use. State Farm donated that. Twin Lakes, we all like to go to the playground. We have a great pavilion there that State Farm contributed to. Haynes Fair recently, their high school won a grant for teen education, driving education a couple years ago. The Reach driver education car that many have seen or maybe even had some driver's education in. This is just one other way in which we're giving back to the community.
Well, thank you for all of that. And tell us about this one in particular. This is called the Neighborhood Assist, and there's 40 grants that are going to be
correct.
Given?
40 grants of $25,000 each.
Okay.
If anybody's listening to this and has interest in it, probably a key thing to take off right up front, to take from this, there's not that many days left for submissions. There's only 12 days. It will actually close on March the 23rd. So later on, I'm sure we'll get to where people can find and submit a proposal for one of these grants.
Got it. And you said there are three categories for these grants. Is that correct?
That's correct. The Neighborhood Assist Program, this is its third year, and its intent is to build safer, stronger, and better educated communities. So those are the three areas: education, community development, and safety.
All right. And if so, somebody would apply under one of those categories. Do you have any examples of what people have gotten over the last couple of years?
This is the third year, like I said. I've looked at, and anybody can go on to YouTube and search Neighborhood Assist, and they can see examples of videos of winning organizations. One that really impressed me was an organization that had a large community of disabled children, and they didn't have many sports-related activities that they could be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of individuals that really enjoyed water sports and felt that some of these disabled youth could really benefit from it and get that joy of the wind in the face, so to speak. And so they won a grant and purchased water skis that are tandem, that are linked together with a seat, and they would actually get some of these disabled youth up on water skis and pulling them behind a boat with the water splashing underneath them, and their faces and the joy that they had, and they what they learned that they could do that they'd never thought they could do, I thought was a great addition to the community and a builder of that community.
All right. Thinking about the application process, from what you've seen, what's that like? Is it extensive?
It's actually pretty simple.
Is it?
For those that are listening or have an interest, there are two places to go to reach it. One, there's a link off of my own Facebook page, just State Farm Reuben Willis or Reuben Willis State Farm in the search, you'll find it. Or you could also search on Facebook Neighborhood Assist.
Okay.
So if you can't remember the name, just remember me. You've seen my car driving around town and my face on the side of it. And that will be something that can get you there. The process is pretty simple. After some of the videos, there's a simple button that says submit a cause. You open that up. It asks for some basic information about who you are, and then it goes into some more details. It's just pretty much fill in the blank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a big essay or anything?
No. Once we're right in that first phase of the program, which is accumulating, there are still 2,857 spots open for submissions. So there's plenty of submission space left. That's out of, I think it's out of 4,000.
Okay.
Of the 4,000, there is a group. It's called the State Farm Youth Advisory Board. These are volunteer youth that get together, and they'll review that, those submissions. And out of those 4,000, they will pare it down to 200 finalists.
Okay.
This is where it kind of gets fun. Of the 200 finalists, communities, individuals, the public throughout the nation will have an opportunity to vote on which ones they think are most worthy and like which causes?
Nationwide, or just, let's say, if we had a finalist in Juneau, would we vote? Or it's
we would vote.
We would vote.
We would vote. And
wow.
The nationwide voting results is what will determine the 40 winners of those $25,000 each grants.
Right. Wow. Big shout out to Juneau right now. I'm recruiting anyone who's listening. You can be a hero, right? Bring $25,000 to our town.
Absolutely. I actually visited with an individual this morning and suggested that he had a great cause and an idea. I hope he goes forward with it, but it would be fun.
I know we have a lot of grant writers and professional grant seekers here in Juneau. We have so many great nonprofit organizations. This sounds like an easy grant process. I know we have a lot of ideas in this town, so please, everyone, let's get on this.
Absolutely. I think it would be fun. And once we get some submissions, I'm sure I'll be made aware of it, and maybe I can pass on to you if there are any from Juneau. Getting the word out certainly through this medium would be great.
All right. This sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks for supporting this, and thanks for being a part of it, Ruben. All you folks out there with ideas, I know you have them about how we can make Juneau a better place. You can go to Neighborhood Assist on Facebook and or Ruben Willis's specific State Farm page there on Facebook to find out more about it and to get connected with the application process. But know this, that you only have, you said 12 more days?
12 days. All 12 right. And a half. You can count the rest of today.
Well, I hope that in not a long time from now, you're back on the program, Ruben, and we're celebrating that somebody in this town won one.
That would be really fun.
Wouldn't
I think
it?
So, yes.
All right, Ruben, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
We got a great community, wonderful people here. I think all of us that have raised children and live here enjoy it for what Juneau is. It's a very unique place, lots of caring people, people who like to give and serve and help others. So we're glad to be able to give back in that spirit and in that attitude.
Ruben, thank you very much for your time today.
You bet.
All right. As everyone knows, coming up here at Folklit Fest, we have the band Bonsoir Catine. A member of that band, Yvette Landry, plays Cajun music, she also does country music and sent us this CD. So here is a cut off of her CD note called Down Home Blues.
Got them down home blues.
Some Yvette Landry right there. She's part of Bonsoir Catine, who's coming here for Folk Fest. She does country music here on the side. Hopefully we can talk her into doing some of that in addition to the Cajun music. I have a special cut for you here. It's from the February Mudrooms, and wanted to give you a shout out that the entire program's going to play on Monday, March 24th, here on KTOO-FM, and that'll be at 7 p.m., so on Monday night. Here is one of the speakers, Christy Chambor, from the February show.
Our next speaker is Christy Chambor. Christy has had someone else compose her bio. Here it is. A native of Long Island, Christy escaped the East Coast to live out her destiny in Juneau. This includes, but is not limited to, boy meets girl, girl becomes wife, wife becomes mom, mom becomes dog mom, all in the rainforest. With all of this going on, she manages to stay sane by belting out Broadway tunes wherever she goes. Here's Christy.
Thank you. I became enchanted with Juneau in the summer of 2005. I kind of on a whim gave up my rent control department in New York City and came to work seasonally in Juneau and live in Clint Farr's basement in a room affectionately known as the Den of Sin. We won't go there. Anyway, fell in love with it, and I was here for 4 days, and my boyfriend at the time proposed while we were snowshoeing on Perseverance Trail and made it even more magical. And at the end of the summer, I had to head back home to Baltimore, but there was a wedding to plan, and it was Juneau or Jamaica, and Juneau won. So we flew back up here for a destination wedding in 2006 at Point Louisa, and it was 80 degrees and sunny, and Clint married us, and there were birds and you know, salmon jumping, and anyway, it was beautiful and fabulous, and once again, the lure of Juneau beckoned, and we headed back to a very hot and humid summer in Baltimore to find out 3 weeks later we were pregnant with a baby that Scott's parents believe was conceived on our wedding night, and my mom very slyly told me she knows it wasn't. But the one thing we both agreed on and the one thing that we were both very passionate about was that we didn't want to raise our baby in Baltimore. We wanted to have a family and live in Juneau. And we're like, so how do we make that happen? And we start making all these plans and phone calls and leaning on the friends that we had made here. And just anything you hear of, let us know, let us know. And months are going by. And finally, I give birth to Kai on March 22nd. And March 24th, my phone rings. And it's a job for me in Juneau. And I'm having a phone interview 3 days after giving birth. And 5 weeks later, they buy me an airline ticket and my family tickets. And we're here meeting employers. And Allie McKenna happens to have a fabulous little apartment on Barron's. And she thinks my baby's cute, so we can rent it. And we have a house. And it's all working out beautifully. And then we get back to Baltimore and we're trying to plan and pack, and I realize I have amassed 3 baby showers worth of baby crap. I've got a tire minivan full of baby stuff. And so this road trip that we had planned as a family was now going to be a man trip for my husband, Scott, while me and the baby flew up here to reside in the Juneau Hotel until the apartment was ready. So it all started really good. You know, we got dropped off at the airport. We headed here. Denise picked us up and we went to Eagle Beach and did all these fun things. But Kai was not a sleeper. So I had a baby and trying to get stuff organized here and no sleep. And I'm also getting ready to start a new job and doing that as a new mother. And all these things are kind of going on in my head. But Scott and I are corresponding every day about this trip. So we have an email a day and a phone call every night. And his trip's amazing. I mean, he's having a good time. He's meeting people in coffee shops and amazing sunsets and, oh, you won't believe what I've seen. And, you know, and then I get this one cryptic email in the middle of all this, which is, hey, car's feeling a little heavy, so I stopped at the post office in the dump somewhere in the Midwest. We'll talk about it later. Okay. It's fine. So it's kind of going on, and I have to start work. And now I am a full-time working mother who's not sleeping, and Scott's still on this great road trip, and I'm starting to feel something that I literally haven't felt in, like, 12 weeks of being a new mom, which is anger. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm just kind of confused. I'm like, I have a beautiful baby. I'm finally in Juneau. I'm, you know, Allie called me and I can move into my place. Everything's working out, but I still can't fully get there. I'm just not feeling it. And, you know, we're coming up close to a day where I didn't have a babysitter for Kai, and Scott was sort of at the end of his trip. I was like, you just have to be back by Friday. That's it. The ferry ticket from Skagway, just make sure you're in Juneau on Friday. So Wednesday, when I get the ferry confirmation by email for Saturday, with a note that says, I found a great cabin and there's some wonderful hiking, I'll see you on Saturday, I didn't even know what to do. I didn't even know how to feel until the phone rang and he's like, hey, did you get my ferry confirmation? And the conversation went just like this. Yes. And if you are not in Juneau by Friday, don't come. Click. And I felt wretched and terrible. But then lo and behold, when I saw a very tall, bald man knocking on the window at the apartment on Friday night, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And the baby was sleeping. And I was like, we can unload the car. We can just start getting settled because everything's been feeling so unsettled to get here. And I just wanted to be home. And so we unload the car and I'm looking around at the stuff and I'm like, where's my diaper genie? And he's like, what do you mean?
And I'm like, where's the diaper genie? And he's like, I don't even know what that is. And I'm like, you're answering my questions with questions, which tells me you know what I'm talking about. Where's the diaper genie? And there's still no answer. Now he's angry, and now he's storming off, and he's saying things like, that diaper genie represents everything that's wrong with parenting today. Why? Why can't you just throw diapers in the garbage? And, oh, my God, a huge screaming blowout fight. I'm crying. He's yelling. The baby wakes up. Now he's up, and we're going through this whole cycle of not sleeping and trying to tag team and change diapers, and then I have to start my day. And lo and behold, about 7 o'clock that morning, there's a knock at my door, and it's Allie from upstairs. And I haven't even given a thought to what they may or may not have heard or what they might be thinking as we're their new tenants, and who knows. And I open the door, and she hands me a cup of coffee, says, you're going to need this, gives me a little squeeze on the arm, and says, if you need us to take the baby later so you can get some sleep, just bring him upstairs. Have a good day. And then walked off to work. And I knew right then and there we were going to be okay. Thank you.
All right, Christy Chambor there from Mudrooms in February. The entire program and more stories like that is going to play on Monday night, March 24th, here on KTOO-FM. And Mudrooms, what a fine organization that is. Really enjoy everything that they do with oral tradition and storytelling. And so keep up that great work. And to hear, like I said, to hear the whole program, that's on Monday night at 7. I am going to play a little Charlie Parker here to take us out. And I'll come back and tell you what's going to be going on tomorrow.
Currently don't have any health insurance coverage, you have three choices: get insurance, file an exemption, or pay a tax penalty. Depending on your income, age, and family size, you may be eligible for insurance with lower monthly costs and out-of-pocket expenses. Pick a plan that is right for you. Do it now because open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace ends March 31st. To get more information, call United Way at 211 or search at 966-8883.
This message is brought to you by Search, your partner in health.
All right. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow, your host will be Ken Fix, and he's going to give you a preview of the upcoming film premiere of Space Trucker Bruce with filmmaker Antone Dwyron. And we'll get an update on activities at the Nugget Mall with the new marketing director, Dale Smith. Gina White will be here to give us an overview of the March of Dimes. And we'll get an update of activities at Eagle Crest. If you ever miss a Juno Afternoon and want to listen again, you can catch it and other local, statewide, national, and international news here at KTOO.org. And we also archive Juno Afternoon at KTOO.org. You're listening here on KTOO 104.3 in the capital city. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Ock Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. The weather for tomorrow looks like rain and snow showers, snow accumulation to 1 inch. Highest amounts within the Mendenhall Valley, highs around 42. Thursday, rain, highs around 40, southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. And stay tuned now for All Things Considered.